latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the song on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood fraternities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
In the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
We're back at the races coming up on 11 o'clock. Another hour to spend. We'll talk to Joe Sharp in a little bit. We sent out the Charlestown Oaks winner. But right now, Larry Jones joins us, and all Larry does is send out Oaks winners and three-year-old Philly-type winners. Pick your favorite. Let's see. Let's see who's everybody's favorite. You can pick and choose. I'm a chatterbox. Proud Spell. Havre de Grace, Believe You Can, Joyful Victory, Lovely Maria, Island Sand, Eight Bells, who else? Who am I forgetting, Larry? One of my favorites, Wildcat Betty B. It's unbelievable. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. No, I appreciate it. Yeah, we've been very fortunate with the three-year-old fillies. They just, they've been good to me.
You know, and this filly has a bandwagon, street band. There are a lot of people that have enjoyed her, you know, as the year has gone on. And this was a situation where, it really felt like she was going to get a setup. And a mile and a 16th, talk a little bit about the preparations for this spot, Larry, and what the thoughts were and where you and Sophie had your heads.
Well, Steve, we had the mile and a quarter race enter at Saratoga and with the Alabama, so we felt like our fitness was good, and I guess that that longer race probably has taught her to relax a little bit. She didn't know how far we may be going. So when the race started, you know, Sophie took a little hold, and we dropped back to a lap, a position that she has never been in any race. But we pretty well knew or expected a rather fast pace, and it seemed like all the other 11 horses wanted to be a part of that fast pace. So it left us back there just dividing our time and waiting to go. And Sophie was so good to understand and know what was going on. She always has a plan A, a plan B, and sometimes a plan C. But I think we dropped a lot farther down on the list this time because I don't think she even thought she was going to be last early.
And I heard you say, I think, either to Caton or you know, it might have been to Dave Grenig, that you were a little unnerved by how far back she was early, and, you know, especially when they were making the turn. It seemed like that she was going to be left with a lot of work to do.
Well, it really was. And, you know, when you have the horse in there, it's hard to focus on the whole field because I'm watching what we're doing. And needless to say, I'm watching way back in the pack. So I really didn't know how fast the front ones were looking like they were running. But when I heard that Serengeti Empress was not on the lead at that point, because she was when she come under the wire the first time, I thought, man, they have got to be booking from here. And because she doesn't get behind early very often. And so we felt good. And the announcer, before they posted any times, had already talked about how fast they were running on the front. So we just felt like, okay, we've got our shot. We've got our setup. Let's just hope we're good enough to close this ground. And Sophie didn't save it all to be made up at one time. She let her start picking horses up down the backside as horses started rating a little. And all the other jocks realizing, hey, we're running fast. Then Sophie was letting her be able to pick up horses and go by. So Sophie did great. I can't say enough for her. She read this race very well and acted accordingly. And the filly ran well. So it was just a good day for the Jones team.
In a big way, and, you know, the Sophie Doyle part of the equation, another storyline, really, Larry, that you're involved in, because you've been so generous with female riders and giving them an opportunity at the highest level. And, you know, that's a Alan Jerkins famous for that as well. I mean, that to me is part of the legacy that you're writing for yourself.
Well, I thank you, and to be associated with Mr. Jerkins, what a compliment that is. But we've been very fortunate. You know, Rosie rode for us. She was the first one to win the Kentucky Oaks, and that was for us. But, yeah, Sophie has fit this filly extremely well. It didn't take me but a couple of works to realize, hey, this is a match here. It's very good. I'm so proud that Sophie has taken such an interest in her. You know, Sophie will drive 5 hours from Chicago to Churchill just to work her. And how dedicated she has been to this horse and to our program. So I can't say enough for her. It has worked very well. And with me getting to own a big part of this horse, it has really meant a lot. Because I'm always expecting the wheels to fall off since I own it. I told him, I said, if Governor Jones had owned his horse going in the Cotillion, I'd have felt really good going in the race. But I know with me owning a big part of it, I was expecting to watch the foot wheels just fall off somewhere.
Well, you mentioned Brary Jones, and he had a good weekend, as did Istan, who had a maiden winner. Brary had that homebred out of Silver Reunion win Friday at Belmont at First Asking. And, of course, is he in Saudi Arabia?
The horse has moved to Saudi Arabia. Yes,
that's what I thought. That's what I thought. And obviously, you had Street Minstrel, who you trained, who had a very brief career, right? She didn't have more than a half a dozen starts.
I think she only made maybe even four starts, but this filly could run a lot, and so therefore we hung on to her. And And I started asking out wow, I'm like, what am I doing? However, this filly here has made it all worthwhile. And I have a full sister to her that's a two-year-old that is, has got us a little excited as well.
Unbelievable. And talk about Ray Francis, too, who co-bred with you and Cindy.
Well, Ray has been, he was part of the very first horse I ever ran in the Breeders' Cup back in 2002. And when the Breeders' Cup was in Chicago, they owned a filly named Ruby's Reception. And he was part of that partnership. And so we have been together now for 17 years. What a great guy he is. Just the perfect partner. And actually, he owned Street Minstrel, the mother of this, with that same partnership that owned Ruby's Reception. And when it come time to divide it up, I bought the other partners. Ray and I bought them out. And so we kept her. And right now, I'm kind of glad we did. But yes, it's. But I've been working with Ray for a long time.
Oh, that is nice. And then, of course, there's the people that have come in on the horse, Medallion, and the My Racehorse group. That you know, the new micro share concept. Talk about the groups that bought in.
Well, the Medallion people, we have done business with them in the past. And they're a great outfit to work with. They usually buy a minority share and just kind of let us still run it and help us out financially on it. And hopefully it helps them financially. This MyRacehorse.com is the first time that I've been involved with them. And as you called it, the micro shares, it is to let a lot of people own a portion of a racehorse, and I think apparently they must do this in other countries where it's a very popular thing where a huge majority of the population actually owns a portion of a racehorse. So it gets a lot of people involved, and I know I heard one fellow say, well, his daughter got him involved in it. She wanted to do it. But it brings families together. It just brings a lot of stuff together, and we're tickled to death to have them on board. It seems like I meet a new member of it at every race, but I'm glad it's doing well. They're very involved on the internet with it. They seem like they know as much about our horse as I do, being there with her. So, no, this is a new concept that's going to apparently catch on, and this might be a very popular thing in another 5-10 years.
Well, and the way already, I mean, to be involved in a Grade One win like this, in really their first full year of operation, and they were waiting for. I know that they had they needed government, they needed SEC approval, or you know, there was some element to it that you know, required a fiduciary approval, and once they got it, they swung into action, and you could see just how thrilled everybody that was on hand was with this win. And I'm just adding up, Larry. Amazingly, you have now trained. This is your ninth millionaire.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's
a lot. To have the million-dollar earners.
To have the small string that we do, it is. We're very blessed because you know we have less than 40 horses in training. We're not the big outfit that carries 200 horses. So we run somewhere between 30 and 40 horses now at the max, and so this is very good. It's very satisfactory for us. Yeah.
Well, and breeding your own, breeding your own Grade One winner too. I mean, is a part of the satisfaction. And you know, I went through that list of of Oaks type winners, and the stuff is just piling up. I mean, Cotillion, Fairgrounds Oaks, Indiana Oaks for this filly. I'm a Chatterbox, of course, won a whole bunch, even as a mare, too, including a Delcap. But Lovely Maria, Kentucky Oaks, and Proud Spell, of course. Chatterbox won a Cotillion. I forgot that, actually.
Yes, it is.
Unbelievable. And Ashland with Lovely Maria. I'm just picking out the how about Cassatt won a Monmouth Oaks?
Right.
Joyful Victory and Believe You Can, of course, another, Oaks winner with Kentucky Oaks and Fairground Oaks. on and on. It's pretty remarkable. Talk about going after the distaff with this filly.
Well, you know, this was a win and you're in. So apparently we will be going to Santa Anita, and all expenses are paid. So why not go out and show up? And the filly's been touring well. You know, she's got a huge task ahead of her. Midnight Bisou, what a good horse she is. And there's a lot of good older fillies to now have to match up with. Hopefully our filly is maturing. I do know her numbers are getting better. It seems to be every race now. So if we can keep her off the bounce and bounce back factor, that has been a problem for her and me getting together on maybe getting that stopped. But hopefully we will be good. We're looking forward to it. Like I said, it's hard for 3-year-olds to match up with older horses on most occasions. But we'll go out and give it our best. This is a big, lanky filly. She has really kind of maturing physically now and getting a lot of muscle to her that to match up with that big frame she had. So hopefully we'll go and at least put on a good program and be competitive.
Well, and you know, with as many live horses as you've gone to Breeders' Cups with, looking for that breakthrough Breeders' Cup win. Proud Spell, second in the Juvenile Fillies. Hard Spun, of course, second in his Classic.
Right. Well, we've been very fortunate, and we felt like we had a really good year the year that Abbott of Grace was there. If I'd
right.
got to run her in the distaff. But we wound up running in the Classic. Mr. Porter wanted to run there, and it was not the wrong decision. We didn't get a great trip, but she had already beat the boys before, so it wasn't necessarily the wrong decision. However, we had just beat Royal Delta by 8 lengths the race before, and the way she won the distaff, it's like, man, I wish I was there. but looking for a Breeders' Cup win. That would be nice to get to say and talk to. So it's hopefully we can go and get another shot here.
Well, it'll come. I mean, with the consistency that you're showing, and with the kinds of horses you get your hands on. Speaking of which, how active were you and the clients at Keeneland?
We did well. The only person I went to represent at the sale was Mr. Rick Porter for Fox Hill Farm. But we came out of there with around a dozen horses. So hopefully we're going to have maybe another Omaha Beach in there like we got the year before when I went and picked for him. So hopefully we're coming out of there with some good stuff.
Well, you got to get somebody to shuffle the cards and so that the Omaha Beach comes your way and something, and Richard gets something else.
That's it. Let me pick through them now. There you go.
Larry, out of curiosity, what first crop sires? You've got a very good eye for a young horse. What first crop physicals impressed you?
Well, you know, there's a we wound up, we did buy a Frosted, and we also bought a Nyquist. And so the two that I got of both of them are really like. So they probably were the biggest ones right now, thinking off the top of my head, that we got off the first crop sire. I did see some Run Happies we liked. We wasn't fortunate enough to get one, but the Run Happies looked well. And there's some awful nice horses out there, and I'm sure this crop, these stallions are, like I said, Frosted and Nyquist, with their race record and their pedigrees, they're bound to throw something.
Are those fillies or colts or one of each?
I know the Nyquist was a colt, and I'm thinking the Frosted maybe was a filly, but it was one of the two. It's either a colt or a filly.
It was definitely a horse.
Yes, indeed.
Larry, let me ask you about a couple of horses too that from the last few weeks, and you couldn't resist sending out a starter at Kentucky Downs. And I saw that Wex, he ended up getting put up in that race. And that was for that Hinkle Farms homebred. Nice turf filly.
And Hinkle, they have such good horses. But, yes, I actually had trained Wex's half-sister. That was by Arch, and she was a stakes-winning filly. Wex seems to be a really nice filly. She's by declaration of war. I think this filly has a bright future ahead of her. And so looking forward to it. And, you know, I am not the greatest grass trainer in the world, but even Wex made me look good. So, yes, that's how good this filly might be.
We going to see her at Keeneland?
Good chance she is. There's also a chance she may run at Churchill. They've got a race, an allowance race, that may go at Churchill, and I wouldn't mind getting one more allowance race before we jump her into stakes company. But, yeah, she will be definitely at one of the two spots.
What about that Woah Nelly won at Ellis, won that allowance in July, and we haven't seen her since for Rick Porter?
Yeah, we really like this filly. She's an Orb filly. Comes out of Medaglia d'Oro mare that was a nice mare. This filly can run a lot. She's won 3 for 5, and she still just needs to mature a little. You know, she's another one's going to be a slower mature, but we're ready to go. We were trying to run her at Churchill, and the race did not fail. So we'll be looking at Keeneland to go. Possibility in the back of my mind, I'm thinking possibility of a Zia Park Oaks in November. We had won that race with Cassatt, which is a pretty nice little spot. It's about a $300,000 race. So that might be her first attempt at stakes company. And like I said, I have truck, will travel. So Zia Park, we know where it is. So Woah Nelly may be looking for that area sometime this year, yes.
Well, Larry, it seemed to me that she took a big step forward going two turns. I mean, she was okay sprinting and going 7/8, but it really felt like she wants a route of ground.
Absolutely, and we have felt that the whole way. Like I said, she just was a little filly that was a little thinner, just needed a little more time to mature. But she's doing well right now, and we're looking anxious to get her back in action. Because this filly, I think she's going to be a very nice horse and really open. She's going to be a very nice horse next year.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that with the Orbs, I know that, you know, there's some people feel like, you know, he hasn't lived up to expectations, but they've got to be prudently handled. And even though he was somewhat precocious to be as good as he was early in his 3-year-old year, that his horses seem to want and need, some time and some patience. So it sounds like that's how you're doing it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. It's what this particular horse acted like she needed. And I'm like you. That's kind of what I'm seeing in a lot of them. We're in no deal. And just like a lot of the Malibu Moons, I mean, those mares got good when they get 4 and 5 years old. So we're not trying to press it too hard right now because we think we have a really good filly.
And I want to ask you about one more mare that seems to go underappreciated. She doesn't go underappreciated, you know, when she's running at Delta and Fairgrounds and Evangeline, but Hours to Run for Colonel Thoroughbreds. I mean, she's going to go through $500,000. What a nice mare she is, and you got her graded stake black type in the Honorable Miss at Saratoga early in the meet.
Right. Now, we're very proud of her. Needless to say, she had wound up winning like 6 or 7 in a row, mostly against Louisiana Company. But we did take her to Oklahoma for the first open race in a long time, and she won the Carousel at Oklahoma this spring and actually beat a horse called Mia Mischief, which went right on to win the Grade 1 at Churchill Downs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, And she won a couple of races back-to-back, and she was also in the Honorable Miss at Saratoga with us, and we were lucky enough to defeat her again. So, yeah, this filly she's ranking with the top fillies in the country, believe it or not, and to be a Louisiana bred, but her next start will be, I think it's on the 5th of October at Keeneland for the
TCA,
Thoroughbred Club of America Stakes, yeah.
TCA, how about that?
And
the nice thing is some of the other big-name sprinting fillies and mares took other assignments. Come Dancing won yesterday in New York, so she won't be there. And, of course, the younger set, Kafefi, taking an unorthodox route. She may end up going off as the Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint favorite, but no three-year-old has ever won the filly and mare sprint. So this is great. She's a five-year-old, and boy, she's 12 for 21 in her career, and now graded stake placed after that honorable miss. And you're right, she's kept nothing but good company, and you've kept her in top form. Larry, it's always a pleasure.
Steve, thank you so very much. It was great to see you at Parks the other day. But, yes, great to be on the show here with you today, and hopefully we're going to see you on the West Coast.
Without fail, Larry Jones, everybody, and Sophie Doyle, and the big group of owners that includes Larry and Cindy, and the co-breeding element as well with Ray Francis, and then Medallion and My Racehorse. A great story from Saturday, which just had nothing but great stories. Let's take a break here. We'll let Larry get home after training, and we'll talk to Joe Sharp, somebody else who was on horses all morning like Larry was. And Joe had an Oaks winner himself, under the radar, I think, because, of course, at Charlestown, I think we were still in the car coming back from dinner when that race went off. I didn't watch it live. But Lady TNT was terrific. And she came out of Oak Lawn. Had a pair of, what was it? Is that the Dixie? Was the Dixie Miss? The Dixie Miss and the, I'll have to look that up. The Dixie Miss and the Gazebo? The Gazebo, I think. And the races she ran at Oak Lawn made her a contender in the Charlestown Oaks. And another horse that slipped through the cracks, price-wise. Joe Sharp joins us after this at the races, recapping a wonderful weekend of racing action and social activities. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back in the races, 25 into hour three, busy Monday as expected, and plenty more to do tomorrow. I haven't even talked about, really, about the New York action, the Kelso and the Noble Damsel. I just referenced Come Dancing winning the Gallant Bloom, but significant form. And Stella de Camelot, 1-2 for Chad Brown in the Noble Damsel. And pat on the back. We got to reach out for Maya Engelhart tomorrow. And Maya won the Bond Guard for Al Gold the other day. Was that Thursday or Wednesday? Friday? Friday, I think. The two-year-old races, there was what? The Gima. Yeah, the Gima was on Wednesday, Naked Avenger for Tim Hills. And then Cleon Jones for us Met fans. I was a Met fan then, and then I eventually moved away to, well, being, you know, where I lived. I mean, between Cincinnati, Kansas City, Charlotte didn't count, but then Montreal, 10 years. So Reds fan a little, Royals a little bit, but then the Expos. And we're waiting for the Expos to come back. We hope that this deal goes down with Tampa, where they're going to play half the season in Tampa, half the season in Montreal. It'd be unbelievable. Joe Sharp standing by, and I've talked this morning about horses that were crazily underbet, and certainly at 37-1, Lady TNT, how she slipped through the cracks, I do not know, because the races, Joe, that she ran at Oaklawn this winter absolutely were a fit, and I guess it just happens. People focus on other horses. Good morning. Congratulations to you and the Dilworths.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah, no, she. I thought she should have got a little more respect at the windows, but you know, from my end, that doesn't really matter that much. So I was, I was glad that some people got paid, and you know, the ones that did support her. So,
all you had to do was take notice of the fact that she ran that race going back to the winter, second off the layoff. You know, you started the season in the Letelier. You started the season. It was still December of her two-year-old year, but it's the winter at Fairgrounds. And then second off the layoff, she ran that terrific race in the Dixie Belle. And, you know, yes, she was second, but she ran into a couple, really, from December on, she was running into some very hot fillies like Raintree Starlet and Bell's the One and Break Even. I mean, was it a requirement that she beat everybody?
Yeah, no, she, that's Scott and I actually, Dilworth, we ended up kind of, after we hooked into some of those, and we kind of came up with a plan just to target this race in the fall. We plan on targeting the Oaks at Charlestown since April or May. We started talking about it, so we freshened her and gave her the one start at Ellis, and then just worked out. We thought with her speed, going 7/8 at Charlestown, she'd be really, really tough to catch, and with the blinkers off, I think she was able to feel him behind her, see him coming, and it kept her honest, you know.
Talk about that, because the blinkers off, the second off the layoff and the blinkers off, and also the oddity of a 7-furlong race around two turns. What went into picking this race out? I mean, obviously it's graded and it's real money, $300,000, but there were going to be some things, and not every horse goes to Charlestown and takes to that surface.
Well, I'm from Charlestown originally, and that's
right.
That's where I grew up, and I mean, it takes a certain horse, and she definitely seemed like she was going to be the horse for the course over there. And like you said, she we watched her drop out at Ellis last time. Once that horse of Calhoun went by her, and she saw her, she dug back in on the gallop out. So we figured I'd take the blinkers off that little one. It seemed to help yesterday, Saturday. So like I said, we just wanted to go into the fall with a fresh filly, and that's what we did. She was tight to us, and JD gave her I thought using a local rider over there is also can also be very helpful. And we've had a lot of luck, JD and I. So, you know, it all worked out.
Unbelievable. And talking about Juan Acosta, who, you know, who wins his share and has for a while. And I'm just looking, yeah, you guys, not just some success. You guys have, holy cow, you've been 4 for 5 going into this with him over the last 2 years with a $3.32 ROI. That's going to be sky high now. Unbelievable, actually. So now together, you're five of six together.
Yeah, no, he's a like I said, he rides that track very well, and you know he's just good rider, and you know has done well there for years.
Unbelievable, and I want to check. There hasn't been. I don't know if my man Nick Tamaro is doing the figs for a buyer at Charlestown, but the fig had not come up even as late as this morning. So I am curious what it got, and I didn't really get a chance to compare it to the other 7/8 races. And let me see if it let's see if it's popped up. 87.
Well, that was a respectable number for she. Like I said, that was. Probably, in my opinion, that was one of her career best efforts. Obviously, so we're looking forward to having her have some confidence again. I mean, she was real confident last fall, and ran some big races, Saratoga and at Churchill, and I think she's back now where she was then, and a little more mature, and hopefully ready to go on and do bigger and better things.
What do you do now from this spot?
You know, she's on her way back today with the others, and we're sent her to the hyperbaric chamber for a few days, and then I don't know from there. We're gonna Scott and I'll talk about it and just kind of come up with a plan. And she likes it at Churchill, but she likes a little bit of time in between races. So we'll just kind of enjoy the last race. And, not look for the next one just yet, but 5, 6 weeks.
She's a Justin Phillip. She's out of a Salt Lake mare that has had like 25 foals. That's unbelievable. This mare's got to be 23, 24 years old.
Yes, she's an older mare.
And she's still throwing them. There's a full brother who won it first asking.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's one of the faster fillies I've been around as far as, Scott picked her out at the sale. We were together back at the OBS 2-year-old training sale, and she was fast then, and she's learned how to stretch that out, and she's just like I said, very, very fast, and that's what wins races.
Oh, you know who has this horse, the brother. Is Eric Johnson of the Avalanche and Doug O'Neill. That's scoring. How about that? That won back at Santa Anita in June. Was got to see. He hasn't had any workouts though, so he's on the. I think he's on the shelf.
Who was he by?
Justin Phillip, the full brother.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a yearling by Gio Ponti, a filly.
Yeah, it's a good family.
Unbelievable. And for those that remember some names, she had that that Lemon Drop Kid filly, Sweet Hope, who was a nice stake horse. And going way back, her first horse to make her first she's had. Oh, my God. Joe, do you realize she's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. She had 16 foals, one colt, 15 fillies.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's remarkable.
I don't think I've ever seen that with that many progeny. That is I got to ask Sid. I'm going to give this to Sid Fernando and let him play with that. You mentioned, Scott, talk about the 2-year-old in training sale purchase, and I mean she fetched $335.
Well, Scott had kept his horses out at the McCaffins, so some of his 2-year-olds out there. So he had watched her train all winter, and you know, just really, really liked her, and you know, basically had his eye on her and wanted to buy her. And I think we definitely had to swing a little bit for her, and you know, it was pretty high, especially for Justin Phillip. And you know, but I'm glad she's, you know, rewarded him for being a believer and being patient. And you know, they're Scott and Evan Dilworth are just great people to train for, and just nice that they were there. And it was, you know, just nice to see them have that kind of good luck and have that much fun. They had a lot of fun.
Well, and you know, we see their name, we see the Dilworth name, you know, on a lot of sale and a lot of buyer lines. Mostly 2-year-old in training. Do they do much yearling action?
To my knowledge, he does mostly 2-year-old in training. But as far as the selling goes, but you know, I'm not involved really in that portion of it. So I'm 100% sure, but I know he's very active in the sales and seems to really buy a lot of yearlings and sell 2-year-old training.
Well, in addition, you mentioned that Lady TNT was coming back from Charlestown. You also ran in the Dickie Moore, one of the other, more or less the co-feature, and you also sent out Classy Act to a nice second in the Pink Ribbon.
Yeah, it was a tough beat. You know, she ran great, and we're still trying to get, you know, that filly's, talk about somebody that took some tough competition over the years. You know, she's just run her heart out. You know, she's still actually not a stakes winner, so we're trying to put that notch in her belt to carry her down the line. And you know, when she goes to be a broodmare and has some more residual, just going ahead and getting that stakes win will be big for her. So we've she's knocking at the door, but we'll get it done. She ran great and came out of it good, so we were proud of her.
Nice. And you also, you know, and you had actually cross entered Lady TNT Was it the Weather Vane?
The Weather Vane, yeah.
Yeah, and you picked the right spot, obviously, when it comes to money and the graded type. But you sent She's All Skeet, who I certainly have bet here and there. She ran in that Sensible Lady in the Turf Sprint. She's had a tough year.
Yeah, she's had a tough year. You know, she's 2-for-2 at Kentucky Downs at Philly, and so we kind of basically prepared her, had her ready for the stake at Kentucky Downs for the Turf Sprint. And, you know, it's gotten so competitive there this year that she actually was on the AE. You know, she didn't make it. I mean, those races typically hadn't overfilled those stakes. And, you know, this year she ended up 3 back on AE, and we had planned to run there, and that was kind of our goal. So when that plan fell apart, now we kind of had to, you know, punt a little bit and find something else. And she's one of those that I think she's better at that 6, 6.5, those things, which sprinting on the grass, you know, especially for fillies, a little bit limited and your options at that distance. So she's had a little bit of a pressure there.
Well, my friends Scott and Laney Pierce from Oklahoma, although they've moved to Kentucky now, but they won't forgive me, Joe, if I don't ask you about Esmosh, who I think is going in was that Friday night, probably on was that the Red Earth.
Yeah, he's in Remington. We actually cross-entered him in an allowance race here at Churchill as well. But being that he's Oklahoma bred, the purse is significantly less because of the KTDF money at Churchill. So we looked at both races, and we all go down to Remington. It looks like the softer spot, and you know, take advantage of his state bred opportunities.
Well, a couple of other. That he's actually he's had a bit of a frustrating year now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I think he's a little bit of a frustrating horse as far as just you know, kind of always right there and just kind of doesn't seem to get by a horse or, you know, get caught. So he can be a little bit of a frustrating horse that way. But you know, hopefully we gelded him in that last race. His first off the gelding, and he ran really, really flat. But since then, physically, I feel like we're starting to notice the effects of the castration in a positive way. And I think that he's going into this race stronger and more mentally focused than he has been. So,
Nice. Well, a couple other notes, too. The season ended at Canterbury last week, and you sent out your share, including a Minnesota-bred maiden winner at the end of the meet, Public Safety. What do you do with a Minnesota-bred once the Canterbury season's over?
Well, you know, most of our Minnesota horses are owned by people that are locally in Minnesota, and that's no exception there. My assistant, Cody Rosen, and his dad, they actually have a lot of those and turn them out for the winter and have them
nice
for the summer again. So, that's pretty much what we do with everything from Canterbury. They all get a break after Canterbury, and wait to go there again next year because, it's a state bred program you have to take advantage of.
I love it. And you mentioned Kentucky Downs. You had a good meet at Kentucky Downs too.
Yeah, we did. You know, we were very, very fortunate down there. That's a meet that we targeted. You know, it's one of those deals that we had a kind of a subpar Saratoga meet. And we had a bunch of seconds, and everybody always says that seconds turn into wins, which is one of the last things you want to hear when you get beat. But actually, three of the horses that were second at Saratoga came back to win at Kentucky Downs. So, it was worth it. And we definitely, that purse structure down there makes it a lot of fun.
You also, you got a nice three-year-old. And speaking of, you know, all the far-flung tracks that you were sending horses to here at the end of the summer, Tracksmith, who I really had some affection for going into the Virginia Derby, talk about, I know he was just off the board, but, the Calumet Street Sense colt, it looks like he's okay. He's got a future.
Yeah, he's a really nice horse. We were really high on him last year, and we had to give him some time off. He ran a big race, big two races off the layoff at Churchill and then the stake at Monmouth. We were really confident going into the Virginia Derby, but he was, a victim of, got stuck behind a really, really slow pace. I mean, they were just pedestrian. I want to say they went 52 for the half, and he was, just when he went to run, and so did everybody else, and just was one of those trips that, there was just no speed in the race. He's not totally pace dependent, but I don't think many horses could overcome the situation he was in last time. So, moving forward, he's going to run in the Jefferson Cup here Saturday at Churchill. Make him the grass. That's it. We'll see him next.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, Joe, plenty of good things happening and the fall and between Keeneland and Churchill, the two-year-old. How about the two-year-old that you haven't seen yet? One of them that's coming out.
Of the ones you have seen, I would say that Art Collector, I think, might be, one of the ones to watch. The horse, he broke his mane at Kentucky Downs, was second.
Right.
And, he's just, we're really excited about him moving forward. I mean, I think he's going to really develop into a top-notch horse. He's, been shown us all the signs, and, would like to get lucky for Bruce Lunsford. He's a newer client of ours, but, seemed to get one that can run right away for us, so that's always nice.
Oh, absolutely. And you're going to try to make the juvenile turf, or is there no rush?
We're probably going to target the juvenile turf versus the juvenile turf sprint, because I think at Santa Anita, the turf sprint ends up being 5/8.
Right.
And the juvenile turf's a mile, so I think that he'd be better suited for the mile versus flat 5/8. So that's what we're going to try and, run him in the bourbon at Keeneland, and then hope to get enough earnings to get out of there as well.
Absolutely. Well, and Bernardini colt out of Distorted Legacy, who was also a one that was a Bruce. That was he had Barbara Minchell had that filly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She actually ran. I think she was second in the Breeders' Cup.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Distorted Humor Mare. I love it. Well, Joe, a lot of good things obviously happening, and You snuck a pork chop past the Bloodhounds on Saturday night.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Joe Sharp, everybody, and Lady TNT, Juan Acosta, on the front end. And, boy, never looked back. And wired a window from, I mean, just absolute top level performance. Wins by two, and really was never threatened. And I love the way Acosta, off the turn, gave that burst, and everybody, you know, is thrown into panic mode, and it's just too late. A couple of horses started to, you know, try to rally. Irish Mischief, most notably, and who we talked about last week with Scully, but Lady TNT and Forgotten on the board at 37-1, pay 76.80. It was actually the Purple Martin. The Gazebo's the boys' race, I think. She ran in the Dixie Belle and then the Purple Martin. And that Purple Martin, break even, she just ran into a buzzsaw. I mean, what was she supposed to do behind break even? Raintree Starlet, Belle's the one. This filly has run one bad race in her whole career. And that was the Alcibiades, where, you know, she was being asked a lot to go two turns in, you know, off of some sprint races, you know, including her maiden win and an allowance win. So put a line through that, and this filly never should have been that price. Crazy. It's been a crazy fast 2 hours and 45 minutes. Let's take the last break, and instead of a guest for the last 10 minutes, I'm going to do some house cleaning because, of course, the Keeneland sale wrapped up. Just a little under last year, but a dynamite sale, of course, from all measurements. And what else we got? Miscellany. We'll tell you about maybe some venues that we haven't had a chance to talk about, including, I never got to John Terranova today. I was supposed to have John. So we'll get Terranova tomorrow because Killy Beggs Captain, who has been terrific all year, wins the DeFrancis Dash. Eric Cancel went down there. Good for him. Cancel picks up a great stake win. And we'll talk to Graham Motion tomorrow. Graham, I told you Graham was well-positioned going into that Laurel card. Three winners. He did get put up. Eddie Keneally gets taken down. Another stake. Unbelievable. Second in what? In 4 weeks? 5 weeks? The one in Canada? He got taken down out of the Bald Eagle Derby win, and it was really, I don't know. You know, the horse we talked about with Eddie, Jay's Solitude. Okay, yes, came over. In fact, came over on the horse that I picked and wanted to bet at a nice price. The that horse of Makers, Zonda. You know, it was the race I talked about that had some really interesting prices. Clinical data or critical data ended up scratching out of there, but Zonda was on the lead and was starting to tire, and Jay Solitude did kind of come over and pinch Zonda, who, you know, kind of clipped heels and you know, checked badly. But that's a tough takedown. So, one of the interesting results of the weekend. We'll give you some more. I told you about Kafefi. We'll get Brad Cox. Cox, I think, won three. He won that Weather Vane with Meadow Dance. Jimmy Creed, another Jimmy Creed winner to go along with King Jack. And what else did Brad win? Oh, Kafefi, yes, yeah, of course, Kafefi, and he got put up, right? Did he get put up in the? No, Graham got put up. Oh, Dot Matrix from Dot Matrix, the win yesterday in the Ashley Cole for Marshall Graham in the 10 strike, and he was a price. Marshall must not have sent it in. Marshall must not have taken the rubber bands off. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back, and we'll hit some of these highlights, because otherwise I know what happens. It just gets lost in the shuffle, and we got a big weekend ahead. Back after this at the race.
The latest- latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I thought I saw a girl brought to life. She was warm, she came around, and she was dignified. She showed me what it was to cry. Well, you couldn't be that girl I adored. You don't seem to know, seem to care what your heart is for. But I don't know her anymore. There's nothing where she used to lie. The conversation has run dry. That's what's going on. Nothing's fine, I'm torn.
We're back at the races. About, oh, a little less. This is how I feel. 7-8 minutes to close out. Do more of the same tomorrow with some more trainer conversations, plus Andy Serling and more. And Dick Powell, too, probably. Dick makes me think that Presque Isle today, you do have the State Bred Stake. 7:30, the two-year-old fillies in the Mrs. Henry Paxson Memorial. Going three quarters for $100,000. Got a decent size field of eight with an entry. And of course, when it comes to the Tapita and some of the two-year-olds that'll show up for this, you do have a capital Q on the inside. Robert Mosco sends out 6-1 shot. And she just broke her maiden against Pennsylvania Bred Company. After kind of spinning her wheels a little bit in open company. So she stays with Pennsylvania Bred. She got a 66 buyer out of that maiden win. And if she takes the Tapita, she's 6-1. Roberto Rosado comes along with capital Q. She's an El Padrino mare. Owner, breeder, Rich Clavidone. She looks okay in here. And you do have, looking a little out, a little further outside, here is one of the really amazing breeding stories in regional programs. The Uptown Charlie Brown. I've said this a number of times. Just getting runner after runner. And that Lulu's Roadrunner, and this is for, you know, the Uptown Charlie Brown stud group, Eddie Coletti and all the, you know, all the people from Uptown Charlie Brown, they own. And Lulu's Roadrunner, you know, came to Saratoga and was a big price in the Schuylerville. That was a little, you know, little much of a difficult assignment, a little, you know, a little too much. But back, you know, with like kind, actually, she broke her maiden against Open at Parks. So Lulu's Roadrunner, 3-1. Who's the favorite? Who'd they make the favorite in here? The entry. Lance Stokes has got an entry. That actually, Lance Stokes and Gerald Brooks. Brooks has got Chili Sky, a Sky Mesa filly, who broke. It was a maiden, actually, but has run well at Presque Isle and bulleted for this. Chili Sky is the 1A, and Weed Whacker is the other half of the entry. An Artie Schiller that broke her maiden at First Asking. Triple Threat Stables. So I'm assuming that Alex Levengood, who's listed as the owner of Chili Sky, is obviously got to be a part of Triple Threat as well. So that must be the common ownership. So to make them an entry. But I don't know. If capital Q takes to the surface, Lulu's Roadrunner, Baby Dragon on the outside, maiden winner last out for Teresa Connolly, who we talk about a lot with Dick. This is an Endeavor Bloodstock homebred. So the Mrs. Paxson tonight at Presque Isle. What can we fit in here? Got a couple of minutes to close out the morning. How about the rest of the Charlestown action? So we can put that aside. John Service and the Greens. DJ Stable. Colby goes off as co-second choice. And Jose Ortiz takes Colby around a Super Saver. 2-year-old broke the maiden at Monmouth and stretches out to the 2 turn 7/8. Colby, congratulations to the Greens. And the rest of it, let's see, real quick. Dr. Feelgood in the last enchantment. This was just a small stake. Crystal Pickett, who actually won a couple of stakes, I think, on the night. Twirling Owen wins the Rachel's Turn. And that for Tony Ferrier, Twirling Candy Philly, won off by herself, actually. The 2-5 favorite could do no better than third. Here's Crystal Pickett again, and she did. She won the Henry Mercer with Hypothesis. There's the I knew there was another algorithm stake winner, 2-year-old stake winner there for owner Jill Daniel. So they combined for a pair. Good old Anna's Bandit, a Great Notion mare now, Jerry Robb, one of our favorites, No Guts, No Glory, and the X-Man, Xavier Perez, at 1-10, unbelievable. And finally, let's see, the how about Penguin Power, cute name, Arnaldo Boca Chica with a few wins on the night, Jeff Runco, that was in the Frank Gall Memorial, and finally, the Pink Ribbon, as we mentioned, Classy Act second for Joe Sharp, but Claudio Gonzalez sent out Yorkie Poo Princess, who, of course, we know from her time with Eddie in New York. So that was the rest of Eddie Barker. That was the rest of the Charlestown action. We'll get to everything else, including Belmont and the rest of the parks. Results and Laurel, I mentioned, try to get a visit in from Graham Motion. How about Mrs. De Tomaso delighted to see that Irish Mias, the Sky Mesa, win the Laurel Futurity. And Graham swept the two-year-old races, taking the Salima as well. So we'll talk to Graham Motion, too. Lots to do. Want to thank Joe Sharp. Good to get Joe on. Larry Jones, always a pleasure. Johnny D, the great one. Tommy Proctor, down the road. And Safi Joseph, for the first time. On the show off of the Pennsylvania Derby win. Thanks to Deja on the board. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. Replay 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM or the website later tonight, Archive Podcast. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
God, there goes Buick 49, black sheep of the angels riding, riding down the line. We think there is a soul. We don't know.